Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio, a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota National Guard, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System, and Beyond the Yellow Ribbon. Get updates and show information at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Your host is former Command Senior Enlisted Leader for the Minnesota National Guard, retired Command Sergeant Major Doug Wortham.
Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I am your host, Doug Wortham, and today we're going to hear about the Support Our Troops Grant Program and learn about Minnesota National Guard Retirement Services. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Sean Mankey.
This week marks the anniversary of the 1941 attack on Pearl Harbor. As Americans, we all share a connection to a day President Roosevelt declared shall live in infamy. But as Minnesotans, we have an additional historic connection. You may not know it, but Minnesotans fired the first American shots in the Pacific Theater of World War II. As war approached, our brave Minnesotans shipped off and became the unit aboard the USS Ward, a World War I era destroyer. A little more than 2 hours before the attack on Pearl, the Ward was on patrol outside the harbor when they saw a small enemy submarine following a supply ship. At 6:45 a.m., the crew fired two shots from her 4-inch gun, sinking the sub. For many years, some doubted whether Ward had really sunk that submarine until 2002, when scientists found the enemy vessel on the bottom of the ocean with 2 4-inch holes through its hull. Today, you can see and touch a piece of our history by visiting the state capitol grounds, where the Ward's gun now resides as a monument to the bravery of those who served aboard.
Thank you, General Mankey. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. In February of 2016, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs launched the Support Our Troops Grant Program. Joining me in the studio from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs is Heather Darby. Heather's the grant coordinator. Heather, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you.
Well, it's good to have you in the studio and to talk about the Support Our Troops grant program. But before we get into that, I just want to point out that your grandfather has served, your father has served, and your son has served all in the United States Army. So you've got a family of service that you must be pretty proud of.
I am, absolutely.
Yeah, well, thanks to them for their willingness to serve and sacrifice for our country. So the Support Our Troop Program, or as some call it, just SOT. But can you tell us what is the Support Our Troops grant program?
Sure. These are grants that are financed from the sale of Minnesota Support Our Troops license plates. Minnesota organizations with programs designated to support and improve the lives of veterans and their families may apply for grants ranging anywhere from about $1,000 to about $100,000.
Okay, so obviously we're raising the funds, so we know that the grants will then be provided. We'll get into a little bit more about what the details are of it. But the program comes from the license plates. And do you know, like, what kind of return is provided to the agency? Meaning, I don't know what the fee is now. I think it's $30.
It's $30, correct.
Yeah, so of that $30, we know there's administrative fees, obviously, but what comes back to support the actual grant program?
So the Minnesota Department of Veteran Affairs gets $15 of that $30, and then Military Affairs gets the other $15. So $15 from every purchase of that license plate goes in a bucket specifically for these grants.
Okay. And then as the grant coordinator, you're in charge of like kind of going through the applications or requests and then, you know, through whatever that process is. We'll talk a little bit about what that process actually looks like. But then it's that money that is distributed to the agency, or excuse me, the entities that are approved for the grants.
Correct. Yes.
Okay. So the Support Our Troops grant program, let's talk about how it works. We already talked about the $15 out of the $30 comes into the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. The other $15 goes to the Department of Military Affairs. So how does the grant work?
So coincidentally, the grant cycle is open right now. It opened this last Monday, and it closes on January 3rd at 4 o'clock. So right now on our website, the Minnesota Department of Veteran Affairs website, entities, organizations can go and apply. And when the money that's raised from these the funds goes.
As someone's putting their application, and we know that there's an entity that wants to provide some type of a service, right? So how does that, like, how do you determine who might be eligible?
Correct. So once the grant closes, what we do is we gather a team of individuals, some from our department, some from outside the agency. So we get a well-rounded group of folks that are looking at these and scrutinizing them and looking at the best possible applicants to award the grants to. And so the grant cycles are open usually twice a year. Currently, there's a cycle open right now. And they can do that. They can go to our website. They can apply. Once the grant closes, that team will look through the applicants and determine which ones will then go on to be considered for funding. And the commissioner does have the final say over who would grant those funds to.
Is there a minimum grant amount or a maximum grant amount?
Well, we try to keep it the minimum to $1,000. Most people obviously apply for more than that, but it's administrative and paperwork to do less than that.
Sure.
And typically the organizations that apply are organizations that might provide emergency assistance to veterans, whether it's groceries, rent, utilities, car repairs, that type of thing, transportation. Some of the grantees have also provided therapy dogs to veterans, outdoor adventures such as fishing, ice fishing, summer fishing, camping. And these are programs that are not just available to the veteran, but also their family. So it could be their spouse, could be their children. We also have quite a few that are holistic, meaning yoga, other mental health type assistance, which is just a great, great way to, give back to veterans and support them.
So you said that there's currently a cycle open right now to receive the grants, normally twice a year. So this particular one you said closes early January, the 3rd.
Correct.
We'll talk about some eligibility here in a second, but how can someone find out how to apply for the for the grant?
So, yeah, they could just go right to our website, the Minnesota Department of Veterans website, and under the grant tab, they can find the application. They fill it out, they upload it to a secure portal because there is some financial information that does need to be uploaded with that. And we give them access and we create a folder and they can upload all of those personal information items. And then we go through and organize them and get all the information together to provide to the committee that overlooks these and ultimately moves them forward.
So the quickest thing is just to know MinnesotaVeteran.org and then
Correct.
You'll be able to find the grants tab. So, all right, so somebody's out there and they're like, I think I want to apply for a grant. Maybe we should talk a little bit about really what the grants are designated for. So is it a person, a single person? I don't mean as in marital status, but I mean, can just a person apply for this, or is it an entity? Does it have to be a not-for-profit? What kind of entity can apply for these?
Yeah, that's a great question. So currently, we do not allow individuals to apply. They have to be an organization, and they must be a 501c3 nonprofit organization in order to apply. And they do need to provide financials, whether it's their tax return, that type of thing, good standing with the Secretary of State, making sure all of those ducks are in a row. And that's all on the website, too. There is a really good, at the end of the application, a check and balance so that applicants can go through and make sure, yes, I've checked that off, and they've got every bit that we need. Because it's a competitive grant process, we do need to not try to give preferential treatment to certain applicants. So we've created a question and answer form, so we really try to stick to that. Mm-hmm. Certainly people can reach out if they have a question, but we're really limited on what we can provide back to them. Someone couldn't call and say, can you tell me how to fill this out? Because that would be giving them a leg up or advantage. And because of the competitive nature, we really just need to stick to the questions and answers that we have listed.
And you said it's a 501c3. Does there need to, however, be a military nexus, or is it any 501c3?
It can be any 501c3 as long as they are serving the veterans and their families. So it has to directly serve the veteran. So, for example, a fishing trip up north has to be a veteran, their spouse, and or their kids, not a organization, or, you know, it can't benefit just the organization. It has to show that the money is going directly to a veteran, which is what it's for in statute.
Okay, perfect. Heather, we'll take a break right here, and then we'll come back and we'll talk a little bit about more about the application process and, you know, the timeline and all that kind of things. The things that someone might expect if they were to apply for these grants. So we'll continue talking about the Support Our Troops program here in a minute with Heather. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I am your host, Doug Wortham. I'm speaking with Heather Darby from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. She's the Support Our Troops Grant Coordinator. And Heather, before we went into the commercial break, we're talking about the types of entities that can apply. It's got to be a 501c3. There has to be some type of a service that's being provided to a veteran and or their families. And so when we talk about those types of entities, and you briefly mentioned some of the types of organizations that were funded in the past, can you maybe just tell us a little bit more about some of those types of things and some of the things you're really looking for out of these organizations that want to apply for these grants?
Sure. So currently we have two organizations that provide service dogs to veterans dealing with PTSD and traumatic brain injury. That's just one of the types of services or programs that we would typically fund. So those organizations usually take around 18 months to move someone all the way through that program because they have to train the dogs, they have to train the veteran to go in and how to handle the dog and that type of thing. Another one would be just the holistic, all kinds of holistic things. We have everything from yoga to other types of EDMR and things like that. And the big one is fishing and camping. It's been statistically proven that being outside in nature is beneficial just for not just, you know, veterans' brains, but everyone's brains should be outside and just taking in nature.
So on something like your time with the service dogs where, you know, it's like an 18-month program, well, obviously there's funds required because you're doing that training for that entire 18 months. So if someone applies for and receives a grant from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, is there a time frame in which they have to use the money, or can it be extended out for a time frame?
So they can be extended. We typically like to keep them to 2 years just because we don't want them to drag on forever. You know, it's just a nice 2 years. There have been some where they had things come up. You know, certainly we just got through COVID and, you know, all those, you just don't know what's always going to come up. But sometimes we can extend them if need be. So whether it's a programmatic problem or a, maybe they can't get they thought they could get 50 veterans, but they can only get 40 and they need just a little extra time to reach out and get those. We can extend it a little bit further than that, but typically 2 years is it.
So someone who pays the $30 for the Support Our Troops license plate, we already mentioned where the money's going. One of the things that I think people often are interested in is my money being spent wisely, right? Because the $30 is above and beyond the normal licensing fee, right? The tabs, registration.
Correct.
So do you do some type of a regular audit to make sure that the entities are spending the money correctly? Do they have to report back to you? What does that look like so we can assure people that are paying that extra money that, yep, we're tracking and it's being spent right?
Yeah, absolutely. So we do follow the Office of Grant Management guidelines, and so meaning that we do monitor them at least once. So we monitor them and more if needed. So if something comes up where we feel the need to monitor them more, but at least one time during the grant cycle. So anytime they put in a request for payment, we make sure they have proper backup, whether that's payroll, whether that's, you know, camping gear, whatever it is, we make sure that we have that through our invoicing backup documents and then also our monitoring.
So if somebody said, hey, they've got the grant and the request was to provide, let's just say, fishing equipment, i.e., fishing poles and bait and all that kind of stuff, and you're doing the auditing and you're finding out that actually what they spent that money on was a brand new boat that didn't even support the entity, that's something you're looking for. That you want to make sure that what they wanted the money for is how they're spending it.
Absolutely. And it's a reimbursement grant. I think that's important to bring up too. Okay. The money is not given to organizations up front. It's reimbursed. So if we take a look at something and realize, hey, that isn't what the intent of this program is, we just won't refund it or we won't reimburse it.
Okay, that's a great distinction.
Yeah.
I was thinking if someone got a $50,000 grand, you're writing a check for $50,000 and then you're just hoping they'd spend it right.
Nope.
They don't spend it right, you're just not reimbursing it.
Correct, yeah. That is an important distinction. And I think another one that I wanted to point out is these are grants all over the state. So not just the metro, they're in Coochaching County, they're in Winona, they're in the metro, certainly, but they're all across the state. And that is something that when the committee looks at funding, we want to make sure that we're covering a large part of the state. You know, there are veterans in need all over Minnesota. Right. And so we really want to make sure that we cover as much of Minnesota as we can.
And do you limit the number of times someone could apply for a grant?
No. In fact, we encourage people that have had grants before to reapply. If they have a current grant with our department, they can't apply because we can't have two grants running. But once that grant is ended, they can certainly reapply, and we encourage them to do so.
Okay. So the grants are reimbursable grants once they've been approved.
Correct.
They've got the authorization to get up to this amount of money through the reimbursement program. It's got to have a veteran or family member nexus, meaning you're supporting that veteran or their families. And then, of course, the 501c3, and then entities can't apply for more
right.
Than one time, which is good.
Yep.
So what about the process? Like, how does somebody go about actually getting the support our troops license plate? Like for example, when I renewed my registration, my tabs, I just do it online, right? And so is there a requirement for me to go into the DMV, or what does that process look like?
Yeah, so it would be to visit your local DMV, and you could purchase them that way. So whenever your tabs are due, you could go in and do it that way. They are also available through dealerships. So that's important to know. If someone's buying a new vehicle, that's available when you apply to get your license plate through the dealership. And, you know, they also do make a really great gift idea for family members this time of year.
yeah, there you go. It is this time of year, so why not?
Right. And they also are available for motorcycles as well.
Yeah, so as you've sat through multiple grant processes, and if you can't answer this question, that's fine. I'm just wondering if there was, like, one entity or one service that was provided where you were like, oh my God, this is so cool, and I'm glad that we are able to support this particular request. Is there anything you can think of?
Oh boy, there's so many, to be honest. We did just grant one out this summer, and it was for, I don't know if I can say the name of the organization, but they provide meals, home-cooked meals for residents of the Fisher House, which is where, veterans, long-term family members can have a hot meal, like a home-cooked hot meal. They're not just running to McDonald's all the time. And that, to me, was just an amazing, it's amazing. And another one, I think, was called Support Our Troops. And that one was emergency assistance for veterans. And they covered everything from, you know, someone not being able to afford getting their tooth fixed that they broke, or their furnace went out, mm-hmm. or they needed their car repairs, rent help, mortgage help, any type of emergency assistance, food insecurity. There's so many. There's so many great ones out there.
Yeah. So if you could just kind of manage expectations, when the grant process closes on the 3rd, how long does it take before you start actually providing the award letters, identifying people?
Yeah. So like I said, first of all, myself and my coworker, Abby Brown, we go through and make sure that all of the pieces that are required are there. So we make sure that they have all of the financials, their applications complete, that type of thing. And then from there, they move forward to the committee that looks at them, scrutinizes them, and then they move forward maybe half of those. And then we go through the commissioner. So it could take probably from the time the grant closes, it could probably be 2 to 3 months before the grant is executed.
Okay.
We have to write the grant. The grant goes to our legal department, making sure that all the, T's are crossed and I's are dotted. And
very
then,
familiar with
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah. And then go through DocuSign, which is a pretty simple process. It just goes through DocuSign. It's electronically signed by everyone. And then that's it. It's executed.
Okay, one more time. Where can someone go if they want to get more information about this?
They could go to our website, which is minnesotaveterans.org.
Perfect. All right, Heather, thank you so much for stopping in and sharing some time with us here and talking about the Support Our Troops grant program on Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks a lot, Doug.
Yeah, you bet. That is Heather Darby. Again, she's the grant coordinator at the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs for the Support Our Troop grants. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. In a moment, we're going to learn about the Minnesota National Guard Retirement Services. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, Brad Lindsay.
On December 7th, 1941, Pearl Harbor was attacked. That event marked a pivotal moment in world history as America joined the free people of the world to battle against fascist forces that sought to impose a new world order of hatred and oppression. Today, almost 83 years later, the USS Arizona remains as a monument to the events of World War II and to the memory of those who sacrificed their lives to preserve our most cherished values and secure victory. The sculpture of the Tree of Life, chiseled in the side of the USS Arizona Memorial, reminds us that the ultimate prize of victory was not just the cessation of arms, but an expression of hope for the realization of a lasting peace. We continue to remember Pearl Harbor, to embrace that victory, and to recall the promise of a renewed commitment to the hope of lasting peace. For our generation and the generations to follow, our dedication to honoring our veteran sacrifices that day and in that war will never waver.
Thank you, Commissioner Lindsay. For more information, please go to minnesotamilitaryradio.com. Freddie Williams is the Minnesota Army National Guard Retirement Services Program Manager. Freddie served for 10 years in the Minnesota Army National Guard, and in 2016, he joined the Retirement Services Team and then took over the Retirement Services Officer responsibilities in 2019. Freddie, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you.
Good to have you here, and you and I serve together, so thank you for your service. We appreciate that.
And thank you for yours.
Thank you so much. So the Retirement Services Program Manager, what is that? What does that mean?
So with my role, I'm taking more of an oversight role into the program, creating training programs for our current serving soldiers so that they understand the retirement benefits that they are entitled to if they serve the requisite time. And then overseeing the other areas of our team who both sit down with gray area retired soldiers at the time that they're applying for their pay to help get them through that process. I also oversee the ID card office for the Cedar Street National Guard Armory. So I sit and I help make sure that they're trained and educated in serving our currently serving and retired service members and their families. And then making sure that I manage the retirement point accounting management role for our team, which is making sure that every nitty-gritty detail leading from, day one of your service all the way up until the final day that you take off the uniform is accounted for appropriately.
Well, those that know, but could you explain what is a gray area retiree?
Yeah, so a gray area retiree is someone who served at least 20 years, creditable, and exited from the reserve component of military service and is awaiting retired pay at age 60.
Okay. And so those people then, obviously, they're not collecting a retirement check during that period of time. And then I would imagine that before they turn 60, that's why it's important for them to know who you are so they can come in, because I would assume there's some type of an activation that needs to take place so that their check starts, because it's probably not automatic.
Exactly. Yes. A lot of soldiers, gray area retired soldiers, don't know. But yeah, you need to apply for your retired pay. It does not happen automatically. There's documentation that you need to compile, application forms that need to be filled out, and my team's the one that makes sure that that is – all the I's are dotted and the T's are crossed to make sure that you get that process done.
And will you help out anybody from any branch of the service, or is this only for Minnesota National Guard, Army National Guard soldiers?
Great. Currently, we're only focusing on the Minnesota Army National Guard soldiers. The application forms are very similar, so we have the – tools necessary to point people in the right direction if they end up at our office. But right now, with the limited resources we have, we are focusing specifically on Minnesota Army National Guard retired soldiers.
I do think it's important to really highlight the fact that those in that gray area do reach out to their component then to help get that retirement started. I mean, it wasn't too long ago, I was at an event and I was talking to a not so young man, but he was 63 years old, and he still hadn't applied for his retirement. And I'm like, what are you waiting for? You should have done this a long time ago. You've missed out on 3 years of pay. So in an instant like that, is that person eligible for the back pay of the 3 years, or is it like on the date of filing? How does that work?
Absolutely, yeah. The statute of limitations on back pay is 6 years. So as long as a service member applies for that pay, before they hit 6 years, they're going to get back pay all the way to eligibility date. But say they apply at age 67, they're only going to get 6 years worth of the back pay, so they will have lost out on a full year's pay.
So as long as they've got that 20 years of creditable service, mm-hmm. They're going to be eligible for that that pay. And you mentioned the retirement. I forget exactly what you said it was, but the RPAS, right? Tell mm-hmm. us what that is, but why it's so important to take a look at those points.
Yeah, absolutely. So the RPAM, which is the Retirement Point Accounting Management Statement, is an NGB Form 23. And it is very important for service members to identify what that is very early in their career because it defines your retirement. It is the platform for which you are paid and your history of service. So every detail from the IDT points, so every time you show up to a drill on a weekend, those need to be accounted for. If you're doing additional training, whether that be electronic-based distance learning or, additional training assemblies, you know, flight school, anything like that, that needs to be recorded on there, all the way up to military funeral honors. When you serve on those details, we account for all that.
And if I remember right, there was a requirement to review that annually just to make sure that all of those points and those types of services you just mentioned are accounted for, because you might not think it's important right now, but it will be when it comes time for retirement.
Absolutely, yes. That is an annual requirement to sit down with your unit administrators and review that form. That's one of the training courses that I'm currently developing for unit administrators, readiness NCOs, training NCOs that are taking care of these soldiers when they're, you know, on the ground. We're working on developing a course to make sure that those individuals in those seats have the education to be able to review those in accurate detail.
So you've obviously spent time serving in our Minnesota Army National Guard, and then you rolled into this position. So it's not like you weren't familiar already with military service and probably the importance of some of this record keeping. But how do you feel as though your 10 years serving has supported you or helped you in your role?
Absolutely. My 10 years in was serving as a human resources specialist, made it all the way up to E5 human resources sergeant. And it really created my desire to take care of soldiers, seeing the mistakes and the impact that those mistakes have on individuals really shaped how I act in my role today. I know that, you know, sitting in the human resources NCO chair and reviewing these RPAM statements with soldiers is important, because I sat in that seat and when I took on this role and saw how many people were being affected by the inability to read those RPAM statements, it really led the platform for how I take care of soldiers today, and how I take care of the people who are not just serving themselves, but also taking care of those fellow service members in those administrative roles.
And I think that proper accounting, I mean, how important is that, right? I mean, wouldn't it be horrible? And I bet you've seen these types of situations where, you know, someone thinks they've got 20 years and they leave service and then they find out they only have 19 and a half years and they're maybe not now eligible for any type of retirement compensation. Even on the flip side, you know, someone who thought they had 20 years of active duty time and they really didn't. And so the accounting piece of it is extremely important.
Yeah, it's super huge because it happens more often than one would think. I have soldiers that come to me, or whether it be email, telephone, or walking into my office in person, who run into that issue. They thought they had 20 years. Maybe it was from their pay entry basic date that they had 20 years, but there wasn't 20 good years because there's that requirement that you achieve not just points in a year, but 50 points in a year, which is custom to each individual soldier, right? Your anniversary, your ending date, super important for you to know what that is because every soldier is different. You know, you could be affected if your unit moves AT from June into December because of a different training event. Because if your anniversary year doesn't account for those 15 annual training points, you could miss out on a good year. And now you've got to serve one extra year longer to get a retirement.
Well, that explains why it's so important to have a retirement services program manager supporting our military members. Freddie, we're going to take a quick break here. We'll come back. We'll talk a little bit more about the program in the next segment. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. We've been speaking with Freddie Williams, who's the Retirement Services Program Manager with the Minnesota Army National Guard. And Freddie, we were talking before about you know, some of the mishaps of points. So when should people start planning for retirement?
People really should start planning for retirement on day one. The second you put that uniform on, especially with the new blended retirement system for our younger soldiers, they need to be preparing for retirement starting on day one and ensuring that they're managing their careers, even if they don't know that they're going to make it that far. But really, once you're in the gray area, you need to be planning to apply for retired pay at about 12 months prior to your eligibility date. You may be eligible for retired pay earlier than age 60. If you went on a contingency operation deployment on or after January 29th of 2008, it's important for you to know that date, that January 29th, 2008, started the reduction in retired pay programs. You might be eligible at 55. You might be eligible at 59 and a half. So know your date. Reach out to my office if you don't know your date so that we can help find it for you. And then make sure that 12 months prior to that date, you're really gathering documents, contacting a retirement services professional, and making sure that we're getting your application prepared for submission 9 months prior to the eligibility.
And is it that 9 months prior because that's really how long it takes for the packet to go through all of the other wickets to get that first date or first check mailed out on time? You know, like if I walked into your office and I had everything, all my ducks in a row 3 months out, am I still too late or do you think I'm going to get a check right on my first day of eligibility?
Yeah, nobody's ever going to get a check on their first day of eligibility.
Okay.
That's a huge misconception. The reason why we go so early isn't maybe because it takes that long to process, but we do it because HRC Fort Knox, they process applications in the order in which they're received. Say you're the first veteran to submit an application for the year of 2025 in the month of December. You are going to be the first packet that they process. If you're the 280th, you're going to be the 280th packet that they process in the month of December 2025. So it's important that you get yours in so that you're closer to on time. You got to remember, retired pay is paid on the first day of the month for the month prior.
Yeah.
So a lot of people think they're going to get a check on their 60th birthday. That's not going to happen. At the earliest, it's going to be the first of the month after, because they'll get that prorated check for their first month of eligibility.
So that's one misconception then, mm-hmm. is when the check would come. What other kinds of things would you like to clarify? If we want to call them misconceptions, we can, but what other things should we be aware of?
Yeah, so your retired pay application process is a two-part application process. It goes to HRC Fort Knox Gray Area Retirement Branch. They pre-screen it, and they get it into the hands of an analyst that builds your pay packet. But HRC doesn't pay you. That's paid out by Defense Finance Accounting Service. So that goes out all the way to the DFAS side of the house after it gets processed. And then DFAS has an additional 90 days to pay out once they get an order. So the big thing to note is that HRC processes your application on, say, a 90-day window. They have 90 days from the date that it hits an analyst's desk to finish that application and build that order. The pay order goes to the service member and to DFAS at the same time. Then there could be another 90 to 120 days at DFAS before they actually pay out on that account.
So 9 months to 12 months out is the right time. So put it in your calendar, remind yourself. How can someone reach out to you if they're looking for assistance about retirement and getting their stuff lined up?
I'm going to give you two options, two avenues. For me, it's personally going to be an email to myself or my Gray Area Retirement Services officer, Mr. Brady Waldock. Either one of us will be able to help get you through that process. The second way is going to be if you're not in the Minnesota Army National Guard and you're looking for support, you can call a phone number that we just recently converted to an information line, the 651-268-8188 phone number that most people have thinking it's my phone number has been converted to a information line. So it'll ask you those questions. Are you a reserve retiree? Are you an Air Force retiree? And it'll transfer you to the correct department.
Okay. Yeah, no, perfect. And anybody out there in the that is a gray area retiree with the Minnesota Guard, they probably can just go to one of their local armories too, and they'd be able to get them connected with you directly.
Absolutely.
So appreciate it. Hey, Freddie, thanks so much for coming and sharing a little bit about this, shedding some light on some misconceptions about retirement, and we appreciate what you're doing to take care of our service members as they get into that retirement age.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, you bet. On the phone is Tim Leonhardt from the Minnesota Patriot Guard. Tim, how are things out on the flag line?
Oh, they're awesome. A little chilly today, but not bad.
Yeah, you know, we were spoiled a little bit. We've talked about this before. Last year was a relatively nice winter, and now we've had a couple of days of some nice cold, if we want to call it that. But the great thing that that we know about the Minnesota Patriot Guard is that it doesn't matter. You're going to be there, aren't you?
Yes. Yep. It doesn't matter if it's hot or very cold. I think some of our members enjoy the challenge.
I bet they do. And speaking of a challenge, you know, you were mentioning to me before we started recording today that you know, you're still looking for additional people to come out and support the Patriot Guard. So tell us a little bit about what it is that you need and how someone can get to you so they can volunteer.
Yeah, well, we are very. We want to make sure that we're at everybody's, the families that need us there. We really want to make sure we're there. And numbers are a good thing. We like to have higher numbers at the funerals because it tells the family that there's a lot of people that care, that even if they're not relatives. So to join us, and it's very simple. Just dress for the weather, come self-sufficient, bring a 3x5 flag and a pole, and somebody there will tell you where and what to do. So to join us, it's simple. Just go to mnpatriotguard.org, and on the left side it says join us. Just click on that and follow all the instructions, and you'll get put on the mailing list. And we only send information for the Patriot Guard. We don't sell, we don't do anything else with that list other than send out information.
So we don't have to worry about anybody getting spammed with a bunch of other emails. And
no.
So if someone goes out and they sign up and because they want to volunteer, you know, obviously they'll get that email that says here are the different events going on in their area, because I know that people will kind of be put in their regions based on where they live. But there's an event coming up where I bet you could use some more volunteers. We talked about it a little bit last month. But maybe you can tell us about this big event on the 14th, and maybe we can drive more people to the Patriot Guard website so they can sign up and support this event.
Oh, that would be awesome. On December 14th, we join up with a group called Reads Across America. And they supply. We buy some, and we lay wreaths at select, tombstones at Fort Snelling, Preston, and Little Falls cemeteries. And it's a great thing. We get a pile of wreaths and names, and we go out and put them on there. And you can imagine trying to do that at Fort Snelling. The more volunteers, the quicker we can get it done. Sometimes it takes all day because there's a few people. When there's a lot of people, you get it done in a couple hours. So on our webpage, there's a calendar. And just go to mnpatriotguard.org. And on the left side, there's one down there. It says missions and events calendar. Click on that. Go to December 14th. And on there, it'll have all the information, where to go, who to see when you get there. And just show up. You don't even have to join us to be able to do this, but it's an awesome event.
Well, hey, Tim, hope we get some more people out there. We appreciate you spending time with us on Minnesota Military Radio. And, hey, get out to MNPatriotGuard.org and sign up for these events. Thanks, Tim.
Thank you.
You bet. Before we close out today's show, I'd like to say thanks for tuning in to Minnesota Military Radio. We appreciate your continued support. We strive to bring you quality content each week and look forward to hearing your feedback and suggestions for future topics and guests. Please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com, click on Contact Us to send us your thoughts. Join us next week for our annual Commander's Task Force Holiday Show. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Doug Wortham, your host on Minnesota Military Radio. I hope you have a productive week and you find a way to thank and honor those who have and those who continue to serve and sacrifice so we can enjoy the liberty and freedom this great country has to offer.